So I'm happy to be here with you sharing the word, reading the word this morning. So as Blake said, we'll be in Colossians 3:1-17 if you'd like to follow along. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Michelle. There's a lot of meat on that bone, isn't there? Rooted, transforming lives, transforming the world. That's the name of our series. And this passage this morning surprised me in some ways. I'm calling this Rooted in Heaven, Transforming Earth. Rooted in Heaven, Transforming Earth. Roots speak of what's unseen, right? I mean, how many of us have seen a large tree fall over and we see the root system was not there? My grandfather, I can't remember if I've told this story or not, but my grandfather, he lived in Carolina Beach, and we used to go a couple times a year. And when we were young, you know, we always had a blast. He would have cut bait for us, and we'd go fishing, we'd catch crabs, we'd get into mischief. It was fun. But as we got older, you know, we would get distracted, and those things wouldn't keep our attention, and we could actually do some labor. He would have projects for us to do, maybe one day of the week. And this particular day, he wanted us to cut down a tree. But my grandfather was very meticulous. You know, he had his things, and I'll give you an example. If we were going to go somewhere, let's say you go fishing, it would take just as long to prep for the trip as the trip itself, which as a kid drives you crazy, you know? And so we were going to cut this tree down. We could, you know, like normal people, just take a chainsaw and cut this thing. No. Because after a while, that root ball would disintegrate and create a crater in his yard. He didn't want that. So we would go out there, and he went around this tree, and he made a mark. He said, all right, boys. He made a mark around this tree from here, and then you make another mark around this tree about 6 feet out to there. I want all this dirt in this area dug up. Okay? Just expose all the roots, and I want you to cut the roots on this line, and I want you to cut the roots on this line, all the way around this tree. And then we're going to take this whole tree out by the root ball. So, man, we worked hours on this tree. It was an evergreen tree with a taproot we didn't know. So it didn't matter how much around you do, that thing's not moving. And so we went for hours, we cut all these roots, and we shake this tree, nothing would happen. So, all right, boys, we need to go deeper. So we dig, hours doing this. And he'd had this hand winch, he called a come along, and he'd hook it to another tree. And if that thing wouldn't move, he'd go, all right, boys, more roots got to go. We spent so long. But you know what? Eventually, that tree came up. And it's amazing to me that that small tree had the root system you would not believe. But eventually, you take out the roots, you can take the whole tree out. That's how powerful, that's how valuable your spiritual roots are. If we take out the roots, I don't care how beautiful you look, your tree's coming down, right? And so your roots, the unseen life, and that's why we've been talking about this, because it's not just, listen to this, right? We're in the Colossians this morning. Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. And he says, guys, you're seated with Christ. You're in heaven right now in Jesus. This is what's powerful about the gospel, that you are, and we spoke on campus. How many of y'all were on campus this week at ENC? A few over here, back over here, some over here. We talked about this. Jesus changes our identity in the spirit, in reality, theologically, before we ever experience that reality in our bodies. Does that make sense? Because Jesus might say, hey, you're righteous. But then you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, I'm not righteous. You are loved by God. Yet you look yourself in the mirror and I don't feel loved by God. Like, all these things are theologically true, but we aren't experiencing them in our bodies and in our life. And so Paul here is saying, look, guys, set your mind on things above. Now, what he doesn't mean here is like, I want you to just dream about heaven all day. That's kind of, when I heard that, I'm like, after a couple minutes of daydreaming about heaven, I'm like, I'm good. You know, like, I don't know if y'all have heard that and been like, set your mind on things above. I'm like, how long? You know, like, how long are we going to be here? Set your mind on things above, not on earth. What is he saying? He says, Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And you have died in Christ. When Jesus was on the cross, you and I were in Christ bearing the wrath of God for our sake. And then when he rose from the dead, we rise with him. And you and I are, as it says in Ephesians, seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are in Christ. Think about Jesus the King. Now, this is geographical, but I want us to help here. The spiritual realm that Jesus rules over is breaking into our realm. We talked about this last week, which means when Jesus came, he came preaching this message. The kingdom of God has come to you. The kingdom of God is at hand. Heaven isn't way over there. Heaven is breaking in here. Now, yes, of course, it goes on to say, when he comes, he's going to tell you, there's a fullness of heaven we won't experience in this life. Amen? That's why not all diseases will be healed. But he will heal diseases. I'm going to say that again. Not all diseases will be healed, but he will heal diseases. That's the power of heaven breaking in. I talked about this last week. When we drive out an evil spirit by the finger of God, the kingdom of God has come to you. And so he is breaking in. And so when we think about put your mind on things above, what we're saying is, I want you to think about Jesus being king over all, heaven and earth. And you are a part of that kingdom. Amen? Now, I'm like, all right, I'm all on board, Paul. I'm reading this. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. I'm getting this, cool. And then I'm amazed at how Paul, because here's what I would think, how he might respond. All right, guys, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now go tell everybody about me. But he didn't say that. Now go pull down injustice. He didn't say that. No, go topple bad politics. He didn't say that. What did he say? He says this. Number one, transforming the earth starts with Christ transforming you. We want to change the world, by God. What about you? We want to see things change out there. Me too. But you can't export what ain't working at home. Oh, there's so much hate out there. What about the hate in your heart? There's so much immorality out there. What about the immorality in your heart? Because this is what Paul says, seated with Christ in heavenly places, right? Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, you are hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, he appeared, you'll be with. Man, when he comes, you're going to be with him. Think about him. That's awesome. Then what does he tell us to do? Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Well, I thought we were going to change the world, Lord. Yeah, we're going to change the world. One fleshly desire at a time out of your heart. Because what's wrong with the world is a ripple of what's wrong inside of you. Do you understand? When we don't change, when we don't allow Jesus to change us, how can we expect him to change the world? He ain't changed your world. How's he going to change the world? You know what I'm saying? So now it will ripple, and I'm going to get to this. But look, he first talks about you, the body of flesh in us. Then he moves to the local church because it's got to start affecting us. Now, let me encourage you. You might say, Blake, I got a lot of changing that needs to happen. Me too. Okay? Me too. And here's the reality. It's a process. In fact, if you read this passage again, what is it? Man, you got to put off sexual morality. He's talking to the church. Why would he tell them to put this off if it wasn't an issue? You know what I'm saying? So we got to put this off. Stop being covetous. Get rid of anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk. You must put them all away. Shoot. Right? Look at all that. Put them away. And so he starts here, then he talks to the church. In verse 9 through 17, look, you got to love each other, right? You can't, don't lie to one another. Well, why is he telling them not to lie? Don't, when you get saved, you stop lying? No. You get saved and you realize Jesus ain't happy with your lying. And then he's going to lovingly confront you with the Spirit and consequences if needed to help pull you around. And so he's like, can we, as the people of God, transformed by the person of Christ, in Christ, love each other in such a way that's different than the world? We are a bastion of heaven living among us. And that's why I pray, because if we can't walk in unity, how can we expect a nation to walk in unity? Do you understand? So this is Christ, and the Christian is the local church. Then he goes to the family. This better work at home, praise the Lord. We got to work this out at home. In fact, you can't even be a leader in the church, Paul says, if you can't lead your home. We're not looking, Paul's like, look, I don't care how talented people are. Can they work out their character in a family? Then he goes on to your work. Look, Paul's meddling. Y'all see this? Get your life right. Now live together in you. Now get your home right. Now work this out at work. And then work this out to the world. Y'all see that? You see how it ripples out? Now, how does it all start? Christ transforming you. Christ transforming you. And this is maybe different how I would pick. All right, Lord, Jesus is at the right. He's got all the power. Boom, we're going to take over. Let's do this. No, let's start right here in you. Look in the mirror. Look up the Bible. There's lots of work to do. You're a project. Let's get busy. Amen. That's Christ's vision to change the world starts here. It doesn't stop here. Praise God. It does affect all those other things we talked about. But it starts here. How are we doing? All right. I don't know. And I kind of meant like, We've bought a Christianity and a gospel where God just is concerned about you getting to heaven. But did you hear what I just said? When you think about heaven, get busy on earth, getting right with God and getting that sin out of your heart. Did you see that connection? Now, I would think, look at 1 John 3. Beloved, we are all children. We are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet been appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. So why are we trying so hard about getting right? When he appears, we're going to be like him. Have you ever thought of that? I'm like, this is a lot of work, God, for me to stop cussing. This is a lot of work. I'm the only one? Okay. I thought I was talking to the people of God who are being transformed in the image of Christ. But y'all know the bad habits you got. It's a lot of work. Lord, and if we're just going to get changed when you come, can you just come? But no, because you're seated with Christ, because you're thinking about Jesus, I want what's there to be coming out of you. Y'all see that? And so there, I don't understand why, and I think I'm growing in understanding why, but here's the reality, because maybe something there that we're going to do, and we're going to do some stuff. Can I just help you? When you go to heaven, you're going to do some stuff. This fat babies and harps and maybe the electric guitar on a cloud, it's not reality. A new heaven and a new earth. When God created the world, there was no sin, and he gave y'all work to do. I don't know if y'all remember that, but he created the world. He put a garden, no sin. Get busy, cultivate, keep, do some stuff. Take the resources I've given you this side of heaven. Take the resources, and I want you to build something beautiful for my glory. So why do we think we're going to go there and be like, that does sound boring, because it's not reality. You got something to do, so maybe your character development on this side of heaven will have eternal ramifications. So let's think about, set our minds on things above. Now, number two, Christ transforming you is a painful process. We just talk about it. Put to death, therefore. This is the problem in an industrialized age. We don't know what it's like to put something to death. And we love that chicken nugget. We love that chicken nugget. Can I get the tenders, please? Can I get the wings and things? That's where I go. Can we go to the Zaxby's and get the wings and things with the tongue tour? Okay. But we don't want to talk about where that wing came from. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you, Betty? Y'all know what I know. Y'all know. Thank you. Something has to die. For you to eat that steak, praise the Lord. I don't understand. Y'all feel me? Yep. Now, here's Paul. Put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly. That's why when he said, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, this is the same phrase. So he's not saying, oh, we don't need to worry about the earth. Oh, you need to worry about the earth. Yeah. What he's saying is, This kind of thing, don't set your mind on this kind of thing. Whatever is earthly among you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Y'all know what covetousness is sin of the heart. It's wanting something that's not yours so bad that you'll do anything to get it. It's being jealous. So that's why when God put the Ten Commandments, he put do not covet in there, because he wanted to know, just because you're doing everything right don't mean I don't see your heart. So don't covet either. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't covet your neighbor's car. And he went on. I mean, he said donkey and like ox, but y'all know what I mean. I don't think any of us are like, man, I really want that ox. Unless you know it's going to turn into a steak. That's what I'm talking about. Say full circle. Full circle. Now, put to death. Put to death. Death is painful. So, I used to have some chickens. because I love eggs. All right? Chickens equal eggs. But in my neighborhood, we have predators. And I'm not talking about, I'm literally a mile away. So we have predators. We have foxes. We have hawks. I remember one time I came home and a hawk was like sitting on top of the chicken coop going like this. And I'm like, hey, get out of here. Well, a couple days later, he found the one he wanted, right? So came home one time and there was some chickens that weren't going to make it, right? Can we talk about this? Is this all right? Just think chicken nuggets, fried chicken. All that had to come from somewhere. All right, this is normal. All right. So I get home, and look, we got to do this. And so look, y'all don't judge me. I want everybody, put your judgment down. We talked about in the cohort this morning, elder brothers and younger brothers. Don't be an elder brother and be judging me this morning. But I thought, look, my kids need to know where this chicken nugget comes from. Praise the Lord. It's a true story. All right, son. You know, he's like four. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, I just already feel the judgment. You know, I don't know. Do you remember how old were you? Were you like four? He's like four. All right, somebody, come out here, son. See this chicken? We are going to, an act of mercy, put this chicken out of his misery. But this is what happens. This is a life lesson, y'all. Discipling my kids. Praise the Lord. Look. When y'all finish, y'all come judge me. But look, I'm in the middle of it right now. So I put this chicken out of his misery. And my son's videoing it for me. He was about four. And anyway, we were watching it. And I go back and I watch the video. And I'm like, man, this is bad, you know. We're putting to death. Putting to death. That's what we're talking about. And on the video, I hear just a whisper, a faint whimper. Oh, I really wish I hadn't seen this. All that's true. Now look, why'd I bring that up? Because putting something to death, now this paid off for me. Because later, I went out of town. This always happens when I go out of town. Animals die in my yard. I don't know why. But my dogs had cornered this possum and wrestled this thing, and it was dead. And so it was mostly dead. Okay. It was going to die. So, look, Isaac, I trained you. I've discipled you, son. You understand? I need you to finish this possum off so the dogs don't get into it and this thing. So, like a champion, he took care of business. Okay? I was proud of him. But then it hit me. Was that possum really dead? Because possums play possum. So I just didn't know if my son's out there, did I take care of that possum? I was like, I'm not dead. Well, he's dead now, okay? It just hit me. I was like, is he dead? I don't know. So why do I bring that up? Because putting something to death is uncomfortable. I really wish I didn't have to do this. But it's got to die. Because it's going to kill you and it's going to kill those around you. This is a cancer that you have to put to death. Declare war on the sin inside of you. Don't pet it. Don't tame it. Don't, it's okay. Me and Jesus have an understanding. Let me help you. That grizzly bear is going to eat you. I don't care how many times you pet it, because it's going to get hungry. And so we don't put to death the sin inside of us. We're talking to Christians here. Paul's talking to Christians. So let me encourage you. Can I encourage you? You got stuff that needs to die. God is aware. So don't, I can't believe I'm sorry. Every one of us in this room, I've done ministry long enough. Everyone in this room is struggling with something. If it ain't immorality, it's self-righteousness and pride. It's something. It's bitterness. Something's got to die inside of you. And there is a warrior spirit that has to be like, no, it ain't taking me out. Not me, not my kids, not my kids' kids. It's going to stop with me, praise the Lord. You understand? So, it's a painful process. In fact, Paul said it this way, just watching it happen in someone else. He said, I'm in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Now, I've seen childbirth. It is not for the faint at heart. I didn't even participate. I just watched it. Okay, until Christ, it's a process. You understand? Now, this is what Jesus says about this stuff. So what do you mean? What do you mean declare war? This is what Jesus says. Matthew 5. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it. That sounds like the same kind of declare war, doesn't it? Now, I got to say this. He's not talking about literally cut your hand off. Please, everybody look at me. Every disciple had all his eyes and hands. So he's not talking about that literally, but he is talking about a passion, a warrior spirit to put to death whatever's, and is going to take an extreme action. Do you see that? Now, we don't talk about this in the church enough, but look at this. 50 to 60% of young people, and I'm not a young person, and I know it spans way higher than young people, but that's the statistic I had, are looking at pornography on a regular basis. Now, it's not fair, I'm going to be honest. Used to, I remember the days where you had to, like, go to the store, risk being seen, and buy something. You know what I mean? Your friends would talk about sneaking into the back room at Blockbuster, you know? I don't even know if there was a back room, but I just know people be sneaking in, you know? But you had to do something. You have literally the red light district. Think about this. Here's the analogy. Think about a room in your house. You've got a secret passageway to the red light district in your room. And if you move, it's going to go with you. It's always there. Now, if that was the case, I would imagine you'd be like, look, we're going to have to put a lock on this or something, right? We're going to have to do something. Hey, baby, there's a door in here, you know? We're going to have to do something for when we're weak, we don't go there. Now, you might say, well, don't you have self-control? Yeah, some of y'all do, right? But some of you don't have self-control about something else. Right, so I don't know what your door is, but I know if we're talking about, because Paul brings it up, I didn't, sexual morality, lust, evil desire. If there's a door, then you're going to do something to give you some time to get your mind right. Y'all understand? That's not weakness, that's called wisdom. Right, because this isn't fair. It's not like that door just flashes lights. It sends you messages. It calls you up. When you walk by, it'll trip on me. It's alive. You understand? And it's in your pocket. And so we can't be stupid. It's not fair. We can acknowledge it and then respond. Amen? And that's just one example, right? We all got our thing. There's no judgment in this room. If that's, you visit that door every day, let me help you. There's a way out, praise God. There's no judgment against that. But the reality is we can't make war on that thing. We can't then say, it's okay. Like, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay for you. It's not okay for society. It's not okay. And so we got to make war on that desire in you that wants that thing that God hates. And why does God hate it? Why does God hate sin, y'all? Because sin hurts you. God, it's not hate. I hate anything that hurts my wife and my kids because I love them. And so we hate because it's motivated by love, but are we hating the right things? Now, we okay? Put to death. Now, we'll go back. I'll learn from my mistake with my son and my chicken. So the next time it happened, I had two that I had to put away. I don't have any chickens anymore. I learned my lesson, y'all. So I had to put away two, and I'm like, my daughter, you know, I'm not going to ruin her like I ruined my kid, my son. You know, I've learned. When you have a first child, it's like you make a lot of mistakes. And the second child, you know, you make less mistakes. So I'm like, I'm going to put this chicken away. Everybody's inside. Get an axe out. And take care of business, all right? I look up, and my daughter has followed me out. She's got her hands on the window, watching the whole thing go down. You know what she did? You got him, Dad. Good job. Keeping my eyes on that one. She is, you watch her, boy, she's me. She'll get you. Don't be deceived by that sweet exterior. All right. Finally, Christ's transformation of you. So why did I bring that up? Because that's kind of, we got to have that spirit where we're like, I don't really want to do this, to like, when you see your friend fighting, be like, get him! Get him! Right? Come on, you can do it. That passion, that encouragement that we're going to need. Because there's going to be times we don't want to do it. I don't want to put this to death. Or, come on, you can do this. Put that thing to death. That anger. I mean, I've talked to friends this week. I could hear the anger coming out of their voice. They're mad. And the anger of man will not produce the righteousness of God. So you mourn with those who mourn. But then you help them fight the anger within them. Number three, Christ's transformation of you will require a shifting of your attention. Set your minds on things above. Seek the things that are above. You hear that action involved? Put to death. Seek the things that are above. Set your mind. You're going to have to shift your attention. Now, how do we do that? What we're not talking about is daydreaming about heaven. What we're talking is get a vision of Jesus, the conquering King, sitting at the right hand of God and knowing his words and his passion. Amen? So when we set our minds on things above, we're thinking about God and what's good and what's righteous and holy. How good he is, how much he loves us. We're setting our mind on, not above like there, but the kingdom of God at hand and coming. So y'all follow me. There's another example of this in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and we have a whole chapter of witnesses, Abraham, Gideon, Deborah, Samson, people who have died for their faith and who are cheering on the coming kingdom because they saw in part but never got to see in reality like we do, Christ coming in, and they're cheering us on. You can do this, John. You can make it. Run! Right? They're cheering you on. They're in the stands. We're on the field. Okay? Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. Knock that stuff off so you can run. We got stuff to do, y'all. We got stuff to do. Let us run with endurance the race set out for us, looking to Jesus. There it is. The founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame and sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He's saying, look, guys, set your mind on Christ and his kingdom so that you can do all these other things I'm asking you to do, putting to death, living out your faith at home, living out your faith in a diverse community. Remember, you're not Jew or Gentile. You're not just separate ethnicities anymore. You're one in Christ. That's what Paul's getting at. We got to work this out here. Here and now. But we're all going to be in heaven worshiping. Yeah, but he's already got glory there. He wants glory here. You understand? So, yeah, we're all going to be in heaven. We're all going to look different. God wants to see the differing, multicolored wisdom of God this side of glory, worshiping and loving each other. Seek the things that are above. Set your mind on the things above. Because your attention is at the heart of your transformation. I'm going to say that again. Your attention is at the heart of your transformation. Tony Reinke, I think I said his word right, from Desiring God said is this, attention is the currency of power. The more plays or likes you give something, the more it grows in power and influence. You don't think that's true in the spirit? The more likes and plays you give something, the more it grows in power and influence. What in the spirit are you giving likes and plays to? What are you letting roll over your mind and entertaining? Because you're giving it power. This Tim Wu from the Attention Merchants, not a believer, talking about the attention economy, said this, when we reach the end of our days, our life experience will equal what we have paid attention to, whether by choice or default. I'll say that again. When we reach the end of our days, our life experience, do you understand? What you experience in life . What do you want to experience in life? Will equal what we have paid attention to, whether by choice or default. And let me help you. If you don't make a choice, somebody will make a choice for you. Because in the attention economy, there is powers that be, technological and otherwise, who will grasp at your attention because if they can get it, it produces money for them. Y'all get that, right? So this is not a zero-sum game. This is not like an equal field. You understand? Every time we give a child, a young adult, a senior, a device, and we don't help them realize that it's going to form them, every time you find your attention captured, your awareness has, if only for a moment, been appropriated without your consent. You're giving power to what you watch, what you listen to. Look, I know I'm old. My kids tell me that. I'm old. I was driving down the road yesterday. Windows down. It was beautiful, right? And I'm hearing the music coming from another car. Words that I've never said before, praise God. And acts that if someone did would be in jail. And it was like nothing was even going on. It was like normal. You don't think that's forming the way young people think? What are you listening to, guys? What are we listening to? What are we putting before our eyes? It's forming you into something. Or said another way, our life experience will equal what we have paid attention to. What are you paying attention to? And I know as a young person, the tendency is like, okay. I know. I was there. I remember people talking about this. I'm like, yeah, but the beat's good, you know. The beat's always good. That's what we would say, wouldn't we? Man, that beat is hitting, man. And yet, I mean formed by what I'm paying attention to. Okay, application. We're closing this plane. Landing a plane. Closing this up. I don't know. We're getting out of here. All right, application. We must give undistracted attention to God every day. And my encouragement to you is if you're not spending 20 minutes a day before God and His Word, you're really not in the game. Because there's no way to walk against the current if He's not before your eyes. It's impossible. You are, by default, a disciple of the world, even if you haven't chosen that. And I that's not a condemnation. I'm just saying, if He's not before your eyes, you can't do it. Do you understand that Jesus, God in the flesh, had to get up before the sun got up so He could spend time with the Father? I mean, anyone doesn't need that. You know what I'm saying? I don't need my devotional time because I am Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad y'all make sure you spend time in the Word, but I'm good. I'm the Son of God. No, He got up. I need the Father because there's a lot of traps out here, and I want to make sure I hear clearly. Undistracted, if you haven't started 20 minutes a day, just spend time in the Word. We must limit our mind's attention to other things. Okay? You can use technology to help you. There are app limits. There are things that you can put in place. There is filtering software. There's accountability software. Well, do I need all that? Yes. If you're asking, do I need that, you're the one that needs it. Okay? If you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about, you're probably fine. You know what I'm saying? Your music is shaping your view of the world. Be careful. That's radical, Blake. Well, I'm sorry. I mean, if you sit in rooms like I do and hear the stories and you help people, it's a no-brainer. Number four, do you memorize Scripture? In a moment, could you set your mind on things above because you've got something to put there? Most of the time, we don't. Now, you do have your phone, and I think that's amazing, like that we can pull up the Bible of any language. Like, the tools and the resources we have are dumbfounding, and I don't want to get rid of any of them. But there's no substitute from it coming out of your own soul. I mean, can you imagine if I just went on, we were talking about this, Isaac and I were talking about this the other day. Can you imagine? I can go on ChatGPT. Is that right? Okay, did I say it wrong? No, it's funny. You know, ChatGPT, I can go on there. I can literally say, sermon about Colossians 3, 3 points, start with the same letter, blah, blah. It would literally give it to me. And I could come up here and I could just give it to y'all. But it wouldn't come from within. You understand? So would it have any real power? No. And so, yeah, you could pair it to Scripture, but if it doesn't come out of you, you know what I mean? What power does it have to resist a spiritual enemy? I don't do that, by the way. Okay, finally, prayer and worship, emphasizing thanksgiving and adoration to the Lord. We've got to set time away to worship Jesus, setting our minds on things above, reminding of us of who He is, who we are, what He's done, what He wants to do, what we'll be doing forever, working for His glory, right? Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for this amazing church who God, I'm honored to even be in the room with some of the saints in this room. It's an honor. A picture of heaven. And yet I know in every one of us is something that needs to die. And Lord, I just pray right now by the Holy Spirit that you would begin to pinpoint things in our hearts that need to die. Put to death whatever belongs to your sinful nature. Spirit, give us the grace to repent. You are waiting, Father, with open arms, ready to run to anyone who would come to you. He will not turn you away. A dimly burning wick, he will not extinguish. A bruised reed, he will not break. If you'll come to you, come to him. He will forgive, he will heal, he will restore. That's his job, and he loves doing it. If you're in here this morning, and you haven't yet surrendered your life to Jesus, and received the free gift of salvation, and you're like, Blake, I want to know this morning that I'm right with God and I'm going to follow him with my life. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Raise it high. Amen. 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 You can put your hands down. If you raised your hand, I want you to pray this out loud. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So out of your own mouth, say, Jesus, you're my Lord. I surrender to you. I give my whole life to you. Help me follow you. Now, Holy Spirit, feel. If you need a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, you need some courage, you need some strength this morning, I want to pray for you. Just lift your hands and surrender to the Lord. Lord, we pray right now in the name of Jesus for a touch of the Holy Spirit. To all those who want it, Lord. Lord, if they want you this morning, a touch from the Spirit of God, I pray you'd give it to them. You said, ask for the Spirit, and I'll give you the Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would give the Holy Spirit to your people. In Jesus' name, that we might be the church and that we might be living out the gospel in our lives, in our community, in our home, at our work, and in the world, Lord. That we might be transforming lives, transforming the world. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we close this morning. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Father, for your word. We've got some amazing altar workers up here. We'd love to pray for you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus this morning, I want to pray for you. Shake your hand, put some resources in your hand to help you with that decision. I'll be up here. We have altar workers out here. Discover GCF is going to be in our hospitality room right back there. So if you're new and want to meet one of our pastors and ask questions, we'll be back there. I'd love to meet you. We'll see you here next Sunday. Amen. You guys have a great week.